I'm rolling the last line of pay Amadeus. We were in the middle of discussing that when so we had the various cases in the Mishnah of Oisaves Benoi, and among them were cases where a person shechts where there's two kodshim and he shechts one of them, and then he or somebody else shechts the other, and we discuss what punishments there are in each case, who's chayav for Oisaves, the second one is when is the second one going to be chayav for Oisaves Benoi, the first one may be chayav for other Isurim. So we left off with the question when you have two of them are kodshim and they were both shechted in the Azara, so we said the second one is getting malchus because Oisaves Benoi. So the question is, why is he only getting malchus for Oisaves Benoi? It's also mechusel's man. And once the first one was shechted of the mother of the baby, then the second one is off limits for the rest of that day, and therefore, so shechting it and bringing it as a korban would be the equivalent of bringing an animal that's underage, that's under 7 days old, under 8 days old, which then there's an iser in the Torah to do that. The question is, why is the Mishnah not telling us that he should be getting two malchus, one for Oisaves Benoi and one for mechusel's man? So the first answer we gave was just because the Mishnah is not getting into that level of detail. The Mishnah just to, when we're talking about someone who's hired for Oisaves Benoi, we're not also focusing on what other Isurim he's being over. So now the Gemara gives an answer. Reb Zera says a different answer. Hanach mechusel's man, set aside the matter of mechusel's man. Don't ask why the Mishnah is not listing it, because in fact a person is not hired malchus for it. That cause of nitkoi la'ese, because the Torah made it nitak la'ese. Now, usually lavan nitak la'ese means the Torah tells you, don't do this, but if you did this, then do this other thing in order to fix up the situation. Classic example is, don't leave over from a korban, don't leave over until it becomes noiser, but if you do, then burn it. At the end of the Masechta, we're going to have an example. The Torah tells us, don't take the mother bird together with the babies, but if you did, then send away the mother bird. So that kind of thing is a classic lava nitikla essay. Now, Rashi over here explains that it means the same kind of thing. The Torah tells us, don't bring the korban during the first 7 days, bring it after the eighth. And Rashi adds, the lav is before 7 days, and the essay is after. Now, that's according to Rashi. Rashi himself in Zvachim, this Gemara is also in Zvachim, explains differently, and Tosfos also, and most other Mephoshim explain over here differently. After a lav amitik la'eser implies that after you did the lav, then you have a way of fixing it up by doing an essay. You left over noiser, burn it. You took the mother bird, send it away, etc. As opposed to over here, what does it mean? If you brought the korban within the 7 days, then how are you bringing it? Then you don't have the option of bringing it after the eighth day. So Tosfos and most other Rishonim understand that lava nitik la'eser, when Reb Zera is saying over here that it's a cause of nitkoi la'eser, that the Torah is making it attached to an eser, it means different than a lava nitik la'eser. And most of fast, what it means is, instead of, like this we learned yesterday, that there's a general lav against bringing any kind of korban which is unsuitable. So now we're saying, however, mechusel's man, this case of when an animal is less than 8 days old, is an exception to that rule. Instead of being under that general lav, if there's only an essay involved. And an essay, so then implicit in the essay is a lav, don't bring it before that point, but a person doesn't get malchus for that kind of thing for a lav habom we call essay. So most of the Rishonim learned that's what Reb Zera means over here, because of nitkoi la'essay. Different for Rashi, there are a couple of explanations. Lev Arya gives an explanation, because after all, we said yesterday that there's a number of Isurim involved, one of them being to not be Makdish it when it's underage. Very well then, if of course it is Makdish it underage, he has the ability to wait until it's the proper age and then bring it. And then it is a classic lav nitik la'eser. And once you have part of the Isur is in that, then we can say the whole rest of the Isur, a person doesn't get from Malchus for either. And the Teferet Yaakov gives another answer by looking at the words of Rashi. He says that after all, the point is that you have the Esed doesn't take effect until 8 days. Bring the animal as a korban then. The lav is only before that. So the fact is, when the person is being over the lav, the Esed is not yet in effect, and therefore you can say that he's not really violating. It's true, of course, once it's been brought before 7 days, you don't have the option of again bringing it as a korban on the eighth day. But the point is, in other words, that at the time, There was going to yet be an essay that would have been in effect only later, and which is not in effect now, and therefore Rashi can call that a lava nitik la'eser. Whatever the case, all of that is as far as an animal that's underage. Here we're talking about a different kind of mufusus man, where it's off limits for the day because its mother or baby was shechted, but nevertheless it's the same kind of thing. And so it's going to be a lot on nitak maaseh, however we define that. So therefore, if Zayda is saying, in other words, there won't be malchus for it. My time, why is that? Because the pasuk says, from the eighth day onward, it will be accepted, implying, so there's an implicit lav in there, namely, that you can bring it only after the eighth day, you can only bring it from the eighth day on, but not earlier. And therefore, lav abamikal essa essa, and therefore, what you have over here is a lav that's derived, that's inferred from an essa, and that has the status of an essa, and therefore, a person doesn't get malchus for it. So again, we have two answers then of why it is that the person who shechts, when we have two animals, an oisav esvenoi, and both of them are kodshim, and both are shechted in the azara, we said the first one did nothing wrong, the second one we said is getting malchus for oisav esvenoi, why is he not getting malchus also for mechusus man? So according to the first answer, he is, but the Mishnah didn't mention it, and according to the Zayda is the answer, he's not, because mechusus man is not a lav that gets malchus. So you want to ask, so what do you mean? So you're learning, so you're learning from these words, you're learning that there's an essa and then there's an implicit lav in there, but don't we need that pasuk instead to teach us a din that Rabbi Aftariki says? Rabbi Aftariki Rami, namely Rabbi Aftariki pointed out a contradiction between the psukim. First the pasuk says that the baby animal has to be with its mother for 7 days. Implying as soon as 7 days are over, halayla chazi, implying that when it comes the eighth night, then it would be mutter. In general, in halacha, we know hayom ha'lachah halayla, a Jewish day begins with the night. So if the baby was born, let's say, on a Tuesday, then a week, that is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, is 5 days, Sunday, Monday, is 7 days, so Monday night. Already it sounds chazi, it should be already roy to bring as a korban. But then the pasuk continues, but from the eighth, and from the eighth day and on, it'll be acceptable as a korban, implying only on the eighth day will be acceptable as a korban, and not the night going into the eighth day. So what is it? Is it, and now, of course, in practice, you can't bring korbanos at night, but why, in that case, then the pasuk doesn't need to say that. Then it could just say, on the eighth day you can bring it, and we would automatically understand that it means the first seven you can't. So the fact is, the two parts of the pasuk seem to be giving us different implications of what the din is of this animal we're talking about. Specifically, it's talking about any animal that's going to be brought as a korban. Actually, the Chassam Sofer points out there's an earlier pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim about a bechor where it says the same thing. So why do we have to if he asks from that pasuk? He says because by bechor is a by kodshim we have the rule, as we're going to learn at the end of our parak. By kodshim uniquely we have that the day begins with day. With the daytime and then the night follows. So then it would mean the entire night after the seventh is still considered part of the seventh. But after all, the bechor is born with kedusha. Other korbanos so start out as cholin. So the question would be then that as far as cholin is concerned, this should already be considered the eighth night. So Rav Aftariki explains it's both. Laila look kedusha v'yom lahatzah. It means that the night going into the eighth day already, you could be makdish this animal. Now we learned yesterday that there's an isser to be makdish an underage animal. So once it reaches that point, once it reaches Monday night in our scenario, then you would be able to be makdish this animal as a korban. The yom lahatzah, but only the next day can you actually bring it as a korban, because you can't bring it the night before. Now, of course, Tosfos points out, I mean, we anyway have a din that korbanos cannot be brought by night. Tosfos points out like this: we learned in Zvachim about the whole concept of imololo yered, that sometimes we have things that are not supposed to be brought on the mizbeach, but if they were, then b'diavad we leave them. Now, one of those is if a korban was brought at night. Even though a korban is possible if it's brought at night, nevertheless, if it is shechted and offered on the mizbeach, then we leave it there. Now we would have said the same thing over here. But we're saying that the Torah tells us it still is considered mechusas man. It's only not mechusas man as far as that you can be makdish it, but as far as all other purposes, it's still considered mechusas man, and therefore this would be an example of im ola yered, that we would actually take it off of the mizbeach. Tosfos says this, a number of other rishonim give that answer as well. So, okay. In any case, the point is that so Rabbi Chirichi explains that's how we reconcile the pasuk that it's telling us that already on the night going into the eighth day you can be makdish it, but to be makdish it you have to wait for the eighth day. So the point is we're using that pasuk for Rabbi Chirichi's din. So how are we also using it for Rabbi Zeira's din that bringing a korban below 8 days old is an eser and that it's a lot of mythical eser, however as we defined it before. And the answer is Kroachunin, yes, but they do have another pasuk about that. Cain Tassel, the Sherifalotzenecha, is a pasuk from Mishpatim, that we were just saying before, that Chassam Sofer refers to. You do have another pasuk that also mentions this point about 7 days versus the eighth day. So therefore, so Rav Turiti can use one of the pasukim, the one in Parshas Emor, for his din, and Rav Zeira can use the one in Parshas Mishpatim to teach us his din. Or the other way around, Rav Turiti might be referring to this pasuk and Rav Zeira is referring to the other pasuk. Whatever the case, we can learn both dinim because we have two places where the Torah tells us this point. Okay. So, now, we got into this discussion by way of talking about that we said that Rav Shimon holds, as we're going to learn further on, shchita shein ruya lo shmo shchita. That we're going to learn on our days, that Rav Shimon holds that a shchita that's not actually matur, the animal to eat, is not considered a valid shchita. We're going to talk about that on our days in terms of, for example, if a person checked an animal for avodah zara or various other cases where an animal is also bahana, then Rav Shimon will hold that's not considered a shchita as far as osav esfenoi. We had learned yesterday that Rav Oshia said the same in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah clearly has several examples where an animal is also to eat. And nevertheless, it still has the din. Nevertheless, Osev Espinoi still applies. So we said that clearly does not go like Rav Shimon, because according to Rav Shimon, it would be considered Shkita Sheina Ruya. And we went further actually, and we said that even when the korban is inside the Azara, we said Rav Shimon would still call it a Shkita Sheina Ruya in the sense that you don't have the Shkita alone is not what makes the animal mutter, unlike with a holden animal. That's it. All you need to do is shecht it, and then that's it. It's available to eat with korbanas. You're supposed to sprinkle the blood as well. And therefore, we said Rav Shimon would not call that Shkita Ruya. So now we're going to continue. We're saying that, discussing more that same point. Amar Rav Hamnana, Oimer Hoyer Rav Shimon. So Rav Hamnana says, Rav Shimon used to say, Ein Osev Espinoi Noi Bekodshin, that Osev, the Isser of Osev Espinoi does not apply to Kodshin. Now, we learned yesterday that Rashi and Tosfos argue about what Rav Hamnana means by that and what Rav Oshia meant when we learned that yesterday. Does Rav Shimon mean, according to Rashi, it means that Rav Shimon is saying that absolutely the whole concept of Osev Espinoi does not apply to Kodshim at all. Tosfos had a discussion about that and said, no, not so fast. The fact is that we learned at the beginning of the Perek that because we have a Vav over there, Zishur Osev Espinoi, then we learned, and since the Pasuk before it is talking about Kodshim, then the Vav tells us that this one is also talking also about Kodshim. Rather, Tosfos says what it means is, Reb Shimon is going to say, that the if the second one is Kodshim, rather, Rav Hamnuna and Rav Oshia are going to be talking about if the first one was Kodshim. So in one of the scenarios of our Mishnah, where you had two animals that were Kodshim and both were shechted in the Azara, and the Tana of our Mishnah had said that the first one is kosher, that the first one there's no problem, the person did nothing wrong, the second one is getting malchus for Isav Espinoi, Rav Shimon would disagree on that and say that no, because the first one was shechted as kodshim, and that's considered shchita shein ruya, then therefore Rav Shimon would pack to the second one from malchus. But when only the second one was kodshim, when the first one was Cholin and the second one was Kodshim, then it says Tosfos, Rav Shimon would agree that the person would be Chayav Malchus, because then even though based on our definition now it's a Shchita Shein Ruya because you need the Zirka as well, nevertheless, the same way as Rav Shimon agrees that Shvutei Chutz, that a korban shechted outside the Beis Hamikdash, the people which the person is Chayav Kares for and the meat is Osir, nevertheless it's considered a Shchita and the person is Chayav Kares, the same way Rav Shimon can consider when it comes to the second animal, even though it's Kodshim, that the Osir Vesfinoi can come into play. In any case, so Rav Shimon says that to some degree, completely according to Rashi, and partially according to Tosfos, that Osev Espinoi does not apply to Kodshim because since Rav Shimon holds that a shchita that doesn't make the animal mutter to eat is not considered a shchita, well then, shechting Kodshim is also shchita sheinu ruya, because like we learned yesterday, because the shchita alone is not enough to be makdish it, you also need the zirka. Okay, The Gemara says Masiv Rava. So Rava says then I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa. We learn in a Braisa, or some Rishonim say that actually he's inferring it from a Mishnah. Oisaves Benoi Kodshim Bachutz. If you have Oisaves Benoi, and both of them are Kodshim, and they were shechted outside the Beis Mikdash, so that was one of the cases that our Mishnah had discussed, but again, maybe Rava is paraphrasing the Mishnah over here, that Ramban says, or he's paraphrasing a Mishnah in Zvachim, or maybe a point from that he's showing him he's actually quoting a Braisa. So Oisiv Espinoi, Kodshim Bachot, so both of them are Kodshim, and both of them are being shechted outside the Azara. Reb Shimon Omer, Sheni, the Loisese, so Reb Shimon says he's going to be Chayev on the Loisese of Shpotei Chutz for shechting the second one. Now again, once the first one was shechted, then on the face of it, the second one is not Rory Lothar Bifnim. Because again, it's off limits for the rest of that day. And as we learned in Zvachim, in order to be chayev for shchut echutz, it has to be roi lover b'fnim. It has to be a korban that would have been acceptable inside the Bais HaMikdash. Now, nevertheless, Reb Shimon says he's still over on the lois of shchut echutz when he shechts the second one. And the reason is shahoyer Reb Shimon Omer. So Reb Shimon is going to agree. In other words, he's not chayev paris, but he's going to hold that he's still chayev, that he's still over on a lav. Because Reb Shimon says, when you have something which right now is not capable of being brought as a korban, but later on it's going to, and there is a loisese involved, which the Gemara discusses in Zvachim, what exactly the loisese is. Rashi brings one of them over here that we learn it from the fact that Moshe tells the Jewish people you can bring korbanos in the Mishkan. Eventually in Gilgal, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be able to bring korbanos wherever you want, but Moshe is telling them that no, don't bring them in Gilgal, wait until you bring them in the Mishkan in Shiloh. So that's one way of learning that there's a lab of bringing something that's not meant to be brought. Certain korban, in other words, Moshe is telling them, certain korbanos you'll be able to bring in Gilgal once the Mishkan is set up there temporarily when you cross over into Eretz Yisrael. But some korbanos you're going to have to wait until you bring in Shiloh, and if you bring them in Gilgal, those particular types of korbanos, then you're going to be over on a loisese. So that's one way, the Gemara there in Zvachim, bringing another way of learning that there's a loisese. Be that as it may, Reb Shimon says, that again, even though this animal is not roi lover b'fnim yet, there's no way of bringing it as a korban in the Beis Mikdash yet, nevertheless, the person who brings it outside is going to be over on a loisese. There's ain't by chorus, however, there's no chorus. So therefore, going to the Shimon, in this case, in Oisiv Espinoi, both of them were kodshim, both of them are being shechted outside the Azara. The first one, the person is chayev chorus. It's classic chutz. But then Reb Shimon says, now that he shechted the first one, the second one is now off limits for the rest of the day. Therefore, it's Einu Rory Lover B'Fnim right now, but eventually it's going to be Rory Lover B'Fnim, because if you were to wait until the next day, that would be a perfectly kosher to carbon again. So now, if he shechts it outside the Azara, says Reb Shimon that he's over on this lab, but he's not over on an Issu Koris. Where's the Chum say? Kol Shein Be'Koris, Einu B'Loi Sese. Whenever there's no Koris, there's no Loi Sese. They don't hold of this concept of there being a separate Loi Sese involved over here. So Rava says, So thus far the Braisa. Now let's analyze it, and we will see. Let's analyze it, and then we will see what Rava's question is on Rav Hamnun. So Vakashalon. So Rava says, now we in the Beis Medrash had the question. Kodshim b'chutz, sheni b'loisese. When Reb Shimon is saying that if both of them are kodshim b'chutz, the second one is over on shchut echutz. The question is, why should he be over? Tama mifta koto. In effect, he killed the first one because it was a shchita shein and roya. Because again, the first one, there's no question he's chayav karas. There's no question it's shchut echutz. It's also to eat. Therefore, it's a classic example of shchita shein and roya. So according to Reb Shimon, that one should not be considered a shchita. It should be considered as though he killed it without shchita. And therefore, there's no issur to shech the second one, sheni mekabel b'fnimu. And therefore, the second one would have been received, miskabel, Agos Abak says it too, says it's supposed to be b'shnimu, it would have been acceptable inside the Mishnah, koris nami b'chayiv. So therefore, he should be chayiv koris as well, according to the Mishnah. So So if Rav Shimon holds Shvita Sheni Ruya Lo Shema Shvita, then it comes out the first one cannot be considered to have been shechted. It has to be considered as though it was killed some other way. When and then Osev Espinoy doesn't apply. Therefore, the second one would have been a perfectly kosher carbon to bring inside the Beis Mikdash and offer it according to Rav Shimon. Now, if the person offers it outside, he should be chayev kares. Why is Rav Shimon saying that he's only chayev, that he's only oiran alav? And there Omar Rava, so Rava himself answers, Va'amriva Kedi, or others say Kedi, which we've learned about before. Kedi can mean the name of it, can mean the name of an Amora, or it can mean that it means anonymously, or that all the Chachamim agreed to this, or whatever. Asserting that, sir, this Brai says missing words, Vahaki Katani, what it really means is as follows. Kodshim, Shneim Bachurs, if the Osev Esfino were both Kodshim, and both of them were outside the Azara, Lurabanan, Rishon Onish Koros, Shani possible Potter, Milav Gishchotefot, then the Chachamim are going to say, if according to the Chachamim, the first one would be Chayav Koros. The second one, the animal would be possible, but because it's still Kodshim Bachot, but he's Potter from Oseves Benoi, Milav Gishchotefot, he's Potter from the lab. Of Shkotefot, because it's not really lovely with him, because the first one was properly shechted. Hadlois Abach actually takes out the words over here from Lav to Shkotefot, and Rashi also explains, rather than it means he's Potter from Kores. So according to that view, sir, we're not talking about whether he's Potter from Shkotefot. We're talking about the word is not Lav to Shkotefot, but rather that he's Potter from the Kores of Shkotefot. Whether he would still would be chayav for Oisiv Espinoy, because according to the Chachamim, the first one was a perfectly valid shchita, because they hold that shchita shein ruya is still a valid shchita. So in other words, it actually explains once we're saying the first one is chayav, then we're saying potter, then we're saying potter by the second one. Because that would be according to the Chachamim. Ulid of Shimon, meanwhile, according to Rav Shimon, Shnei Manushim Kares, both of them would be Chayiv Kares. So this is the part of the Braisa that's missing from the original version of it. When we said in the Braisa that they're both Kodshim Bachotz, and Rav Shimon is saying, Shnei Veloises, in fact, in the case when they're both Kodshim Bachotz, Rav Shimon would actually hold that they're both Chayiv Kares because of Shvotechotz. Now, what about Shvita Shein and Ruya? Doesn't matter. The whole concept of Shvita Tefot is, by definition, is a Shvita Shein and Ruya. You're taking a korban and shechting it in a place that is also to shechting and making it also. And nevertheless, the Torah is clearly mechayev for it. So Rav Shimon holds that kind of thing is an exception to the rule. Now, though, here's another part of the Braisa that's missing. Echad b'chutz v'echad b'tmim. If one of them was shechted outside the Azara, and then the other one was brought into the Azara and shechted, now the Rabbanan rishon onish kares, according to the Chachamim, the first one is so chayiv kares because shechut b'chutz. The sheni possible potter. The second one is going to be possible because, but he's going to be potter. He shechted it inside, so it's not shechut b'chutz, and he's going to be. He's going to be chayev for Oseh Espinoy, but he's going to be potter for Shchut Echutz, because there's no Shchut Echutz anymore. But it's possible because it's Mechusar's man, because once the first one was shechted, then this one cannot be shechted the rest of that day. Now here also, here the point is, Rashi said we don't need to say that he's potter. Here's where we say that we don't need to say that he's potter from Shchut Echutz for the second one. Obviously it wasn't Chutz, but because we said Chayev on the first one, then we say potter on the second one, and we don't mean potter completely. We mean he'd be Chayev for Oseh Espinoy. We just mean he's potter from Shchut Echutz. Meanwhile, Lirab Shimon, whereas according to Rav Shimon, we would say, Sheni Kosher, he would actually say the first one, yes, yeah, Chayiv Kares, because Shvot Echotz, Rav Shimon agrees that that's considered a Shvita, but now the second one would actually be Kosher, because not Mechosar's man, because once the first one was Shechted Bachotz, it's enough of a Shvita to make him Chayiv Kares, but not enough of a Shvita to make it that the second one, therefore, should be unable to be Shechted that day. Now, what about if you have the other way around of these two kodshim, one of them was shechted inside the Azara and one of them outside, then we have the other way around. L'Rabbanan, Rishon Kosher or Potter, according to the Rabbanan, the first one is kosher and Potter, obviously, he did nothing wrong. Sheni, as far as the second one, Potter will Potter, the second one will be possible because it's Shchut Echutz. However, it will be Potter from Kodesh, so Shchut Echutz, because it's, and again, Einu really love it b'fnim, it couldn't have been brought as a Korban that day, and the Chachamim therefore hold there's no Kodesh in it, and then Reb Shimon also agrees there's no Kodesh, but Reb Shimon would hold there's a lav, the Chachamim hold, as we said, Uri Rami Amud, no Kodesh, no lav. Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, Sheni b'loy sesa, he was where the second one he'd be over on a loy sesa. Because right now it's not suitable to be brought as a korban because it's mother or baby was shechted that day, but it will be suitable again tomorrow. Therefore, Reb Shimon says this is one of those cases where there's not kares, but there is a lav involved. So again, we had a braisa, which we asked. The way we originally quoted the braisa seems to be saying that if they're both kodesh and b'chutz, then why is Reb Shimon saying there's a loisessa on the second one? Now Rava is clarifying, if we go through the braisa and fill in all the missing parts, then we realize when Reb Shimon says b'loisessa, it's talking about not where both of them were b'chutz, but where one of them was b'fnim, and then the second one was b'chutz. So now, again, the second one, he's chayiv kodes for shchotech, so now, according to Reb Shimon, he's not chayiv kodes for shchotech, because having the first one having been shechted, and it was a shchita ru'uya, because it was a proper shchita in the Azara, then now the second one is considered ain't a really lovely b'fnim, cannot be brought as a korban today, and Reb Shimon therefore says that kodes won't apply. Now that we understand that way, says it, but that all presupposes that we say that the shchita of the first one in the Azara was a valid shchita, and that we call that shchita ru'uya. So now Rava says to the Ramban, no. If you're going to tell me ain oisav that according to Reb Shimon ain oisav espino no the kodshim, that oisav espino does not apply to kodshim, am I below said a suloi, then why is he chayav only a loisav there for the second one? A kores nami b'chayim. He should be chayav kores because it is roi lover b'fnim. Because if you say that Osev Espinoy applies to Kodshim, okay, then we understand. The first one is shechted. Now the second one is off limits for the rest of the day. Therefore, it's Einu Roi Lovi B'fnim, therefore only Olav. But if you tell me, Raham Nuna, that Reb Shimon holds that Osev Espinoy doesn't apply to Kodshim across the board according to Rashi, or by the first one according to Tosfos, then that means we should ignore the shechita of the first one. Fine, for the second one he won't be chayef for Osev Espinoy, but he ought to be chayef for Koris for shechting a korban that's Roi Lovi B'fnim outside the Azara. So Rava said, no, here's how we have to explain it. Ella Omar Rava. Rather, Rava says, here's how we have to understand what Rav Hamnuna is saying. Yes, Osev Espinoy does apply to Kodshim. You also need the Zirika. The fact is that as we learned yesterday that once the Zirika is done, then that's that only once the Zirika is done is the meat and mutter to eat, and that should mean we shouldn't call it a shchita ru'uya because the shchita is not alone is not enough to be matzurit, but nevertheless, though, fine. You know, the point is that eventually you're going to do the pashtus, you're going to do the zvika, and then retroactively it turns out that it was a valid shchita. But rather, hafika amar Rav Hamnuna. Rather, what Rav Hamnuna is saying as follows: Ein malchus osiv espinoy noy b'kodshim. It's just that there is an issue of osiv espinoy that's relevant to kodshim, even according to Reb Shimon. However, malchus for it will not be able to be given according to Rav Hamnuna's understanding of Reb Shimon. Why? Because given the kamad lezorik dam lemishtri baser. Because given that until Havos Habach adds the words my timer. Why is that? So the reason is, given the kamadol ezorik domlin mishri baser, given that until you do the zrika, the meat is not going to be mortal to eat. So at that point, it's still considered a shchita she'en ru'uya. So the idna the kashafet. So therefore, when he shechts the second one, chava havoy hasuras safek. At this point, it's hasuras safek. Is it going to be is the first shchita going to have been retroactively made into a valid shchita or not? And if yes, then the second one is going to be considered a shchita, and I'll be chayav malchus for it for Osev Espinoy. And if not, if they don't end up doing the zrikas adam on the first one, then it comes out it was a shchita sheni ru'uya, which according to Reb Shimon is not a valid shchita, and therefore he can't be chayav malchus for the second. Now Tosfos does point out about a point on the previous Talmud. There's a Tosfos, one of the longer Tosfos over there that talks about some of the details in this whole sugya. So Tosfos explains. Now, Rabbi Shimon himself does hold a concept, when the blood is ready to be sprinkled, it's considered as though it was sprinkled. But that's Tosfos explained. That's as far as to consider it noiser, or things like that, then we can consider it. But to consider it a shkita shein ruya, that we're not going to say. It has to actually be sprinkled in order for it to be a shkita ruya. So at the time when he checked the second one, if they give masra, it's only going to be a havoy hasra suffik. Therefore, it comes out to be asra suffik, asra suffik, loishma asra, and asra that's based on a suffik. Is not a valid asra. So therefore, Rav Ravah says it's not that Reb Shimon would say that Tosav Espinoy doesn't apply to Kodshim at all. He would just say that as far as we're to be able to give the person Malkus for being over on the log of it, that you can't do because of this issue of asra stuff. Now, nevertheless, though, Rashi explains we would still call it Einar Roile, Scabble Befnim, because once the first one was sprinkled, once the first one was shechted, and if the blood was sprinkled before the second one, then it is a shkuta ruya, and therefore the second one is not royally scabbled with him, and therefore we can still say, as we said in the braisa before, that if the second one is shechted outside the azara, Reb Shimon is not going to be chayav koris for it, only a lav of shkuta chutz. However, Rashi says, I don't like this gear, Rashi says, because what's asked to us suffix? The second one is definitely a ruya. Once you shecht the first one, if we establish that Oseh Vesbenoi does apply to Kodshim, then the second one automatically becomes the first Zman. So then what Hasra? So Rashi takes out the words about Hasra stuff. Rashi just says Rashi takes out that we don't say my timeline, we don't mention this rule, we don't mention this reason because of Asura Safik. We just say the fact is that we're just saying that Malchus of Osir Espinoy is not noted with Kodjim. And the reason would be not because of Asura Safik, but because the second one is a shita shein and oil. Once the first one was shechted and the first one's blood was sprinkled, then at that point it retroactively becomes a shita oil. But the second one is a shkita shenu ruya because now it's mechusas man, because now it's unavailable to be brought as a korb for the rest of the day. So Rashi says this that we have over here in the Gemara about asura safik. Rashi finishes off by saying it's a pirish meshubashu. It's a mistaken pirish meodem chorer from a fulful. Somebody who's sharp and then knows how to do pilpul came up with that explanation. But Rashi says that can't be what the Gemara was actually saying. Okay, in other words, according to Rashi, the reason why we wouldn't give Malkus for Osev Espinoy in the case of Kodshim, appointed of Shimon, appointed Rava's explanation of Reb Shimon, is not because of asura safik, but because once the first one was shechted and the blood was sprinkled, then the second one is ainur. And since it's ainur roi lover b'fnim, then the shita is not going to be matir to eat. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, we're saying it's not considered a valid shita in the first place. What's the point of Rashi? Tosfos and most other Rishonim do have the gusa over here of Asura Sofik, and they discuss, Tosfos explains that no, once we say that Osev Espinoy applies, again, Rashi had held that Osev Espinoy, when we say that it doesn't apply to Kodshim, means both the first one and the second one. Tosfos had explained that no, it means that Reb Shimon would hold, it fully applies to the first one, it just doesn't completely apply to the second one. So the same way as Reb Shimon will agree that a shita outside the Azara is called, even though it's shita shein ruya, nevertheless, as far as shote chutz, a person is still going to be chayav kares for it. The same way Reb Shimon will also agree when it comes to kodshim that to some extent Osev Espinoy will apply to them, whether shkita ruya or not. All Rava is saying is the fact is you don't know for sure that the blood is going to be sprinkled, and therefore, so now it'll be a shkita shein ruya, not because mechusas man and not because it's outside the azara or anything like that, but just because in the end the shkita was not matur the animal, the meat to be eaten, because the blood wasn't sprinkled, and therefore it's called asura saf. So that would be the answer. So that would be the answer. According to Reb Shimon, we will say that that osvest no, it does apply to kodshim, but not fully. It won't apply in particular. It won't apply it will apply, but there won't be malchus either because again, according to the Gilsa in front of us, because Vasira Sakit, or according to Rashi, because the second one is Mechusas Ma. And the Gemara points out for Azar Rava L'Taimei. In this regard, Rava is going according to his own shita that when it comes to Asura Sofik like that, then a person can't be getting Malkus for Isav Espinai. The Amar Rava, he cholinu for no shlomim. Suppose that you have an animal, that the mother is a cholin animal, and the baby is a shlomim. In other words, what you did is a person was makdish. So either you could have he was makdish the baby in the womb, or you could have he was makdish after it's born. Whatever the case, the point is, you have here an Oisav Espinai, where one is cholin and one is kodshim. So it all depends. So according to Reb Shimon, shachat cholin v'achafach shachat shlomim potter. So now if he was shech the cholin one, which is the mother, and afterward the baby, the shlomim potter, then he would be potter from osav espinoi. Why? Because if they give him asura about shechting the second one, it's going to be asura stuffing, because they haven't sprinkled the blood of the how can they pay? They can't give him hasra. Don't shef that shlomim. If you do, you're going to be chayav malchus, because if he shef that shlomim and the blood doesn't end up getting sprinkled, then he's not chayav malchus. So therefore, that's not considered a valid hasra. Now, again, there might be, here also, Rashi and Tosfos might hold that the second one is anyway off limits because Mechus is man, so therefore maybe Oisav Espinoi wouldn't apply, whereas Tosfos would hold that Oisav Espinoi would apply to it. Although Rosh Yosef explains that even Rashi would agree in this case that Oisav Espinoi would apply, he would just say that Malchus doesn't apply because of this matter of Asura stuff. Anyway, but then it continues Rava, shlomim v'achaka cholin. On the other hand, if he shechted the shlomim and sprinkled the blood, and then he shechted the cholin one, chayev, then he's definitely chayev because the first one turns out to be shchita ru'uya because he did sprinkle the blood after all, and therefore when they give him asura, don't shech the second one, so therefore then there's no asura suffer. The cholin animal, of course, does not need zirika, and therefore, so there's no suffix, and therefore they can give him asura, and he would get malchus. Okay, so we see that Rava is being consistent and saying that in a case like this, Asura Safek is not considered a valid Asura, and therefore it has to be that when they're giving him Asura, it has to be that they know definitively that the Shita is going to create an Isur, which in the case of Shechting, the Shlomim second, then it won't, because at the time of the Shita, they don't know yet whether the blood is going to be sprinkled. Okay. The Omar Rava, and Rava says, here's another game. He cholenuv no oila loy mudboya. He cholenuv no oila. That here we were talking about if the mother is cholen and the baby is a shlomim. What about if we talk about instead of a shlomim, we talk about an oila? Now remember, a shlomim, of course, can be eaten and oila cannot. So Rava says, he cholenuv no oila. If the mother is a cholen animal and the baby is an oila, loy midboya, the needless to say, shochat cholen v'achachach shochat oila, that if he were to shech the cholen and then the oila, the potter, then he would definitely be potter. Because again, asura safik, because until you sprinkle the blood of the oila, you don't know whether he ends up being oila or not. Following Reb Shimon's law, this is all following Reb Shimon's logic, that asura, that shchita shein ruya is lo shma shchita. All of this is according to Reb Shimon's opinion. Within the Chachamim, it wouldn't matter, shchita is shchita. Anyway, needless to say, according to Reb Shimon, that if he first shechted the cholin and then the oila, he would be caught, because the only way to give masra would be asra suffix. They don't know whether the second shchita is going to end up being a valid shchita or not. But we would go further, says Rava. Even if he would have shecht the oila first and then shecht the cholin, also potter, then he would also be potter from osav espinoi. Because shchita kamaisa lav shchita basachile, because the first shchita is not a shchita that brings to eating, because after all an oila is not eaten. So therefore, so according to Reb Shimon, shchita shenin uya lo shma shchita, and therefore according to him, you can't say that the oila was considered to have been shechted. In fact, the Feres Yata points out, according to that logic, you would actually say that Reb Shimon would say you would even l'chatzchila be allowed to shech the second animal because the first one is not considered to have been shechted at all. So that's one opinion. But Reb Yaakov, Amar Reb Yochanan, however, Reb Yaakov says in the name of Reb Yochanan, no, achilas mizdeach, shmo achilas. The fact that the mizdeach eats the fact that the Mizbeah eats the korban, consumes the korban, is also considered eating, and therefore it would be considered a shritter oya, in the sense that now you have that it's true a person can't eat it, but shechting it and sprinkling the blood allows the Mizbeah to eat it. And Rabbi Yaakov tells us that's enough for it to be considered, that's enough for it to be considered a shritter oya. My time, why is that? Because the positive is being if an ochel, yet ochel, if eating, there will be eating from the meat of the carvers, korban shlomim, and the pasuk goes on to say, if it's eating past the time, that a person is chayiv kodesh. And that we learned in Zvachim that this pasuk is also teaching us, is primarily teaching us about the din of pigul, where the person had a thought during one of the main avodas of the korban, that he's going to eat it, or that the mizbeach is going to eat it, or that he's going to sprinkle the blood or whatever outside the time. And and since it says here, ochol yochol, b'shtei achilas, achos medaber, the pasuk therefore is talking about two kinds of eating, echad achilas odem, v'echad achilas mizbeach, both when a person eats it, and when the mizbeach eats it. So the same way as with pigul, if he's shechts, whether he's shechts having in mind that he is going to eat some of the meat outside the zman, or whether he's going to burn the chalev on the mizbeach outside the time, either way it's pigul, and there's kores for eating such a korban. The same way over here, then we can say that when the person does the shtita and the zvika of an ola, it doesn't make it mutter for a person to eat, but it makes it mutter for the mizbeach to eat. And therefore, that's enough for it to be considered shchitah ra'uya. Even appointed of Shimon, following Rava's logic again, that it doesn't matter the fact that the shchitah alone is not enough. Once the shchitah is done, then retroactively it turns out the shchitah is a valid shchitah. So Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Yechana, says that in that case, Rabbi Shimon would not allow you to shech the second one, and if he did, he would actually be chayav for oisav esvinoi. In fact, Tosfos points out that, listen, Rava definitely agrees that achilas mizbeach shema achila for certain purposes. All Rava is saying is that when it comes to this din of oisav esvinoi, then he would hold it doesn't apply. But to other cases, definitely, of course, Rava would hold that the shchita and the zrika of an ola and the fact that the ola is burnt on the mizbeach is considered an achila, which has implications for various other halachas. Mishnah says, "Hashoyfet v'nimtzit." Let's talk more about the shchita sheiner oya. Hashoyfet v'nimtzit tveifa. Person shechts an animal, and person shechts oisiv esvinoi, and one of them turns out to be tveifa. Doesn't mean after if the first one was tveifa, there are rishonim who learn that way. They would hold that if the first one was fine, then the second one would still be chayav, even according to Reb Shimon. But according to other many other rishonim learn that either way Reb Shimon would say he's potter. It has to be that both of them are shchitah ra'uya. It has to be that both of them are making the animal mutter to eat. And in the case of a tveifa, of course it's not. So similarly, hashoyfet l'avodah zarah. Similarly, if you shecht one of them having in mind for avodah zarah. And we'll talk about in the Gemara which one. Or if he shech the parah adumah, which parah adumah is not meant to be eaten, it's meant to be burnt. The shoran miskol, or he shechs a shoran miskol, an ox which killed somebody and therefore has to be given skila and is also to eat. The egla rufo, or he shechs the egla rufo, which is supposed to have its neck broken. In the Nachal Eson over there, it's not supposed to be eaten. By the way, as far as the Parah Adumah, the Me'iri and the Nemuka Yosef point out, it would have to be the baby that has to be the Parah Adumah. If the mother had been, the mother can't be a Parah Adumah, because the Parah Adumah has to have been an animal that never did any work, and that includes that it was never mated. Okay, and in any case, the point is that, and the Eglad Rufa, the same thing as well, and Eglad Rufa also has to have never done work, so therefore it would be the same thing. So both of those, we'd have to be talking about that the Parad Rufa or the Eglad Rufa would be the baby, that neither of them can be the mother. In all those cases, the point is, the shitter of the animal does not make it mutter to eat. Rav Shimon Poter, therefore Rav Shimon says it's potter of Oisiv Asimai, because again, as we've been learning all this time, he holds his lo shma shchita is not considered a valid shchita, and therefore the Gemara is going to point out in the next parak a limud for that from a pasuk involving Yosef and his brothers. We'll talk about it in the next parak, Bes Hashem, because they're also going to get into the matter of shchita sheiner ra'uya. In any case. So, sort of Shimon says, in all those cases, then since the animal is not mototi, then therefore it's not considered a shkita, and therefore when he shechts the other one, or when he shechts the other one, then he's not going to be chayav for oisiv esvado. The chum machayvin was the chum say he's chayav, the chum don't care shkita shen ruya, they consider it's a shkita. The Gemara explains that again in that Gemara on Daf Pehei in a few days, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about why the Chachamim disagree. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. But Ashkutip in Isnab Lavinah, what happens if he shechts and it became Nevela? So he accidentally he did the Shkita wrongly. He did any of the many things that we learned earlier in our Masechta that it passed with Shkita. V'han Noicher, or he doesn't shecht the animal at all, but he rips it. We talked about what Noicher means exactly. Doesn't mean to rip it. Doesn't mean to stab it. Whatever. V'ma'akir, or he pulls out the simonim out of their place, the windpipe and the esophagus. So all those cases, everybody agrees, potter mishum oisiv esvanoi, then he's potter on the din of oisiv esvanoi, because now this wasn't considered a shkita at all. Mefarshim point out, and the whole parak is talking about oisiv esvanoi, why don't we just say potter? What else? And we're talking about potter, of course, of oisiv esvanoi. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that it means that then there won't be any issu at all. To shech the second one, you can shech the second one even machatchila according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that what it means is, look, you potter from Oisav Esvanoi, but he sa'a ba'al ha'ayim, ba'al tashka, so don't do that, but at least from Oisav Esvanoi he's potter. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omer Rav Shimon Lakish, lo shonu ela sheshachat rishon ma'abed ezar v'sheni mishofonai. This din of the Mishnah, that Chachamim would say that Oisav Esvanoi applies, and Rav Shimon would say he's potter, is only when he shechted the first one for Abed Ezar, and the second one he shechted for his table. So now, in other words, the first one is even though he's chayiv misa for the first one, nevertheless he can also be chayiv malchus for the second one. So obviously, therefore, they're going to give him malchus first, and then actually Rashi points out they would have to judge him for the second one about the hasura of the second one and give him malchus, and only then we're going to judge him for the first charge and execute him. Rashi says also it doesn't have to be talking about one person; we could be talking about two different people. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta points out actually that if a person shechts for Avodah Zarah, maybe he should be considered a mumer, and we've learned already at the beginning of the Masechta that in that case then it's not considered a shchita of a mumer is possible. Tosfos says one time shechting for Avodah Zarah doesn't necessarily make him a mumer. So again, the first one was done for Avodah Zarah, and the second one was done for his table to eat. So therefore, so even though there's missa for the first one, nevertheless, he's still chayav malchus for the second one. Or again, if it's two different people, then it means, in other words, the fact that the first one was shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah is not potter in the second. Aval, but Rish Lakish says, Rishin l'shulchanah m'sheni l'Avodah Zarah, but if it was the other way around, first one was done as a regular shkita to eat, and the second one was done l'Avodah Zarah, then Rish Lakish says potter, then he gets potter from Malchus, because the come way, because now he gets the harsher punishment. Once he has, for the same action, he does two, for the same actions, he has two different things, Skila for Avodah Zarah, and Malchus for Oisiv Esvanoi, when it's the same action that triggers both of them, then we have the concept called Kol Mevi D'Rabamine, that a person gets the harsher punishment and he's potter from the lesser punishment. So Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, there's no renewal we'll chidush in that. This kind of thing is something that even children who are learning Seder know this kind of thing, and you don't really need to tell us that. Ella, you want to tell us a chiddush, you want to tell us a something that we wouldn't have realized from our Mishnah, then rather you can say, Pomim Shafir Shochat Rishon, the Shofonim, Shani Lavad Azara Chayef, there can be a case where he shechted the first one merely to eat, and the second one for Avad Azara, and nevertheless he can still be Chayef, Malchus for the second one, because what would be the case? Why would there be Tom Lady Dirabamine? Because he's going to ask for Mishum Oisiv Esvanoi, he's going to ask for Mishum Avodah Zarah. Suppose they gave him Asura, don't check that animal, you're going to be chayav of Oisiv Esvanoi. Instead, they didn't give him Asura of Avodah Zarah. No Asura, no Misa. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, in that case, he will be chayav Malchus. And now, the Shlokish disagrees with that point, and he says, since had they been master in him, if Avodah Zarah, he would have been executed, then even if not, we would still say, come live with the Amimine. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Shimon Lakish explains, That's not, he doesn't consider that. So he doesn't consider that in that case. A person would get Malkus either. Omar, Rav Shimon Lakish Omar, Kivin to Ki Asru Bei Potter, if they had given him Malkus for Avodah Zarah, then he would have been Potter from Malkus, because Kom Levi Dramane, Kilo Asru Bei Nami Potter, then even if they didn't give him an Asra, he would also be Potter, because the fact is that, there's what's called Sad Misa. There's a case where he would have been Chayiv Misa, and therefore that, and therefore once there is that case, even though in practice now he's not Chayiv Misa, because there's no Asra, nevertheless we still can't give him Malkus. And the Gemara says, "Va'azu l'taymayu." Now, in this regard, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are both going according to their respective svaras. We find a similar machlokas in another context. The Kiyosid of Dimi, when the Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, "Omar chayv and misa shoygin." People who would have been chayv misa. But what they did was they actually did it b'shoygig, so therefore they're not chayiv misa. So in other words, there was no asra. B'chayiv and malchus shoygig, you know, the same thing. Somebody was over on something which would have been chayiv malchus, and had there been asra, they would have gotten malchus. But there's no malchus because there was no asra. B'dover acher, and then also on top of that, now we also have something else that he did that would also make him. With either one of those, he was also over on something which there would also be mummy. So in other words, the whole concept of kol nebid adamine is, for example, a person is over on something which would be mechayev him to pay mummy, and also he's chayev malchus or misa, then he's potter from the mummy because kol nebid adamine. So now, what if you have? It was shogig, there was no asra, and therefore, in practice, there's no misa and there's no malchus. But so now, is he potter from paying the money, or now is he potter from paying the money or not? An example of that kind of thing, Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, a person took somebody else's ma'aser sheni and ate it outside Yerushalayim. So now he's over on gezel, because he stole somebody else's property, but he's also neighbor or gzeva, whatever. But he's also, and for that he would have to pay. But in addition, he's also chayiv malchus for eating ma'aser sheni outside Yerushalayim. Another example, let's say he ate nevela or trefer that belonged to somebody else. They can also have his chayav to pay the person, but there's no malchus because they didn't give him asra. So now, is he going to be chayav to pay money or not? Rabbi Yochanan o machayav, Rish Lakish o potter. Rabbi Yochanan says he's going to be chayav to pay, Rish Lakish says he's potter. Rabbi Yochanan o machayav dolai asra, but the fact is they didn't give him asra from Mr. Malchus, so therefore there's no kamalei b'derav minei. Rish Lakish says he's going to be Potter, given the Potter, because had they given him an Asra for the Misra or the Malchus, he would have been Potter from paying the money. Kiven Asrabe Nami Potter, then even if they don't give him an Asra, then also he's Potter from the money. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are being consistent over here when they're saying, again, when you have this case where you shechted the first one normally and the second one for Avodah Zarah, and then Rabbi Yochanan says if they didn't give Masra for Avodah Zarah, then he is in fact going to be chayav for Oysev Espinoy and get Malchus for that. And Rish Lakish says that not. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are being consistent in their two opinions. Tosfos discusses in that case why we need the two machlokes. But in particular, because in other words, we would think there might be a difference between Malchus and Mammon versus Misa and Mammon versus Misa and Malchus. So you need various machlokes over there to help clarify that though. Now the Gemara said actually, so the Gemara itself says it's tzricha of the two machlokes over here. Tosfos points out there's also a tzricha of why we also have a machlokes about this point in Ksubas. Where there's Misa and Mammon, then you would say over there that maybe he would hold Misa and Mammon, he's Potter, but maybe Malchus and Mammon, he's Chayev. And then on the other hand, if not, then you would think that maybe Rabbi Yochanan would hold that by Misa and Mammon, maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish that he's Potter. But now in our true machlokas over here, again about the person where one of a pair of Oseves Kedoy was shechted normally, and the second one, Mashem of Adizara, But there was no mal, there was no hasra for avodah zara. Where the yichon and holds chayav and for malus for oisav eskenoi and the shlokas holds potter. And the other case involving in general when you have nisus and malchus shogin together with davar achad together with money, where the yichon, for example, like we said, somebody eats somebody else's ma'aser sheni outside your shalak, outside your shalayin, is he going to be chayav malchus or not? So we have these two machlokas, and the Gemara points out we need both of them. What's it? So we need both of them. We couldn't have just said the machlokas in one case and derived from the other. Be Yashmin and Baha, if we were only told in the one case over here about the case of Avodah Zarah, you would say Baha Kamar and Shimon Lakish. You know why? He's not Chayav Malchus, because Nisa and Malchus are both punishments on the person's own body. So you're not going to give him two punishments on his own body. So even if they gave Masra from Nisa, then of course he's getting Nisa and not Malchus. But even if they didn't give him asura from Nisa, nevertheless, the Shlokish says that you can't impose on him two potential bodily punishments. Abba Baha, but when it comes to Mammon, and when it comes to Mammon and Mister Malchus, namely again the case, for example, where he ate somebody else's Maaser Sheni or whatever, Ema Moedele Rav Yochanan, maybe he would agree with Rav Yochanan that in that case he should be have to do both. And so then fine, if you actually have both, and in practice he's going to get Mister or Malchus, then fine, come live with Avimine. But if in practice he's not getting Mister or Malchus, because there was no Asra, then maybe the Shlokish would agree that in that case he does have to pay the money. And on the other hand, if we only have the case of the Misa and Mammon, or Misa and Malchus, you would say on the contrary, Baha, Kamar, Rabbi Yochanan, only in that case would Rabbi Yochanan say that if there's no Misa and no Malchus, then he's paying money, because again, there's two different types of penalties, Abba Baha, when it comes to Misa and Malchus, Hema, Moedele, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, maybe he agrees with Rabbi Shimon Lakish, that he gets only the harsher one, and that even if in practice the harsher one, the Misa, is not going to happen, because there was no Asura, maybe he should get the Malchus, and this in the case of our Mishnah, therefore, even if he's not getting Nisa for Avodah Zarah, because there was no Asra, maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish that in that case, because he's not getting Nisa, and therefore he's potter from any corporal punishment on his body, which would include Malchus, nevertheless, Yitzchak holds otherwise, therefore Tzricha, therefore we need the Machlokas in both places. And here's where Tosfos and here's where Tosfos has some discussion about that, about the fact is that we have that Gemara and we have a relevant Gemara in Ksubas that seems to make it pretty clear that Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish are not would disagree in both cases. And then here's where Tosfos says that you have these two machlokas over here, and you have another one there in Ksubas, and each of them is actually necessary. And between all of them, we get clarified thoroughly what Rav Yochanan's and Rish Lakish's respective positions are. So that's how it is then. Again, so in the case of our Mishnah, so if he shechted Avodah Zarah, so again, if the first one was shechted Avodah Zarah and the second one normally, then Rav Shimon is going to be Mechayev the second one for Oisav Espinoi and Rav Shimon is going to pass it because Shechita Shena Uriya. If it was the other way around, one for normally and the second one for Avodah Zarah, Rav Shlokish will hold that always the second one is Potter, as long as it's the same person, because come later did Avimine. Whereas Rav Yochanan would hold that no, nevertheless, he actually is going to be chayev if they didn't give Masura for Avodah Zarah, because then according to Rav Yochanan, Kamal Ebed Rav Aminei wouldn't apply over there.